In John 21 and verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, bear in mind, Simon denied Him. Now He's having a personal conversation with the one who has failed. The one who said, I'll never forsake you. That's the same Simon He's talking to. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him two words, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, following Jesus is a whole lot more than our society makes it out to be today. This conversation, when you read it at first glance, you may get the wrong impression. You may think that Jesus is just gouging Peter or taunting Peter with words because he seems repetitious when he keeps saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? What a question. What if Jesus was to sit in front of you and ask you three times, do you love me? Lovest thou me? See, that's important. He didn't ask Peter to follow him until first he had Peter examine his love for him. Did you know? Here's a statement that you can bank on. It is possible to follow the Lord and not love the Lord. Maybe I better clarify that statement. It is possible to follow the Lord and not love the Lord. You can sing His songs, you can read His Word, you can do good things, you can talk about Him and still not be in love with Him. There'll be millions of people that will attend church that will die lost without the Lord. It's possible to follow the Lord and not love the Lord. But listen, it is impossible to love the Lord and not follow the Lord. You can follow Him without loving Him, but you cannot love Him without following Him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There's some folks that keep the commandments without loving Him, but it is impossible to do the reverse of that. And that's why Jesus makes this a question of love. Now, it seems redundant that He asked this question three times. But our problem is somewhat, and I don't want to bore you with this tonight, but you have to understand this or you'll miss the whole point of this message. In our language, the human language that we speak of, English, our dialect, we have one word that oftentimes can be used in a lot of different areas. And one of those words is love. For example, you can say, I love my job. I love my house. I love my car. I love my dog. I love my wife. I love my children. One word for love. But you know, the love you have for your wife is not the same kind of love you have for your dog. Or it better not be. You understand what I'm saying? We use the word love, but love is on different levels. So it's wide open to interpretation. When you use the word love in the English language, you have to, as the listener, when you hear that word, you have to discern what level of love is this person talking about. That's why, listen ladies, young ladies, when a young man says, I love you, you better check out what kind of love that is. Because love comes in different levels. Now, the Greeks weren't that way. They had at least four words for love. They had the word starge, which was a love for an object or love for a creature. When they talked about loving their home or loving their pet, they'd use the word starge. If it was merely a physical attraction, they used the word eros, which we get the word erotic from. So if it was nothing more than a physical relationship, they would use the word eros. If they had a bonding love, it was the word philia, which is where we get Philadelphia from, the city of what? Brotherly love, philia. And they would use that word, which means that it was a love one person reciprocated by the love of that person to another individual. So that's a filial love. But then there was a special word they had, and that word was agape. Now the word agape was the same word that God used in the Scripture when He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Agape means an emptying and self-denying love. A love that expects nothing in return. Now, it's hard for us to understand that as human beings, because most of our love is based on someone responding to our love. We expect someone to love us in return for the love that we send out. And it is really a joint venture when it's person to person. And if they don't respond, oftentimes, the thing that we do is we cease to love. But God's love is not that way. God, do you know something? If you are the worst sinner in all the world tonight, God still loves you. Even if you rejected the Lord, and even if you've taken the name of the Lord in vain, even if you have torn the pages out of the Bible and burnt your Bible, God still loves you. They crucified His Son, took Him through a mock trial, spit on Him. His life was filled with shame, but He still loved them. No wonder the Bible says when Jesus used that word, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. That's the love that He's talking about. Now here's how the conversation went. When He looked to Peter, He said, Peter, do you love me with a self-emptying, denying, agape love? Peter knew the meaning of that. And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. When it comes, Peter didn't respond with the same word that the Lord used when He asked him. He said, do you love me with an agape love? He said, Lord, when it comes to a filial love, I love you. And the Lord looked at him and said, Peter, no. When it comes to a love that will deny all, do you love me with everything in your heart? Will you give all for me? That type of love. And the response was, Lord, you know when it comes to loving you, I've never loved anyone like I love you. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? How deep is your love for me, Peter? See, here's the problem is, we don't like to ask this question. How deep is our love for God? And the reason that he was asking this, and it grieved Peter, because he said, Lord, don't you hear the answer that I'm giving you? I don't know if I can love anyone to that extreme. He was unsure of his own ability, and he said, you know, when it comes to loving another individual, I'll do all things. But see, Peter's now cautious, because this is the same Peter that had made a vow before and had broken that vow and said, I'll never leave you. I'll be right here with you. I'll stand by you no matter what. I'll be beside you. But then they turn around and Peter's gone. And he denies him. Not once, not twice, but three times. So Peter doesn't trust his own love. And the Lord says, Peter, you need to love me with a love that is so great that you'll get... Let me ask you something. What would your love for God cause you to do? How deep is your love for God? How great of a love do we have for the Heavenly Father. How great is our love for a Savior that died for us. Why should we love the Lord? Because we'll never follow the Lord. There will be places that our life will take us that if we're not confident of the love of God to be there for us and that God still loves us when we're in that place that we don't want to be, we'll begin to doubt the love of God, our love for God, and begin to wonder, is all of this really true? And the devil will fill your life with so many doubts if you're not assured of the love that you have for God. See, the Lord knew where He was going to lead Peter. None of you know where your life's going. I don't know where my life's going. I don't know what valleys I'll walk through. I don't know what problems that I'll face. I stood in the funeral home tonight. I know several of you were there and you'll testify to it. They were not expecting death to come so quick to that family. Facing so many things. A good woman. A woman that worked for the church. A woman that loved the Lord. But yet, they're facing a valley right now that they didn't know they would go through. But still, if you have the love of God, the love of God that's genuine will take you through everything that you'll face in life. You'll say, regardless of what has come my way, I am assured of this thing. I may not be in control of my circumstance, of my situation, but I do know this. I'm in control of my heart. And my heart tells me that God still loves me. And I still love the Lord. And I'm not going to forsake You, Lord. I'm going to follow You no matter what I'm faced with in life. I love You, Lord. And bless Your name because I know that You love me too. Amen. So you need to follow Jesus. Regardless of what others do, follow the Lord. This chapter starts out by Peter saying to those, Jesus has died, He's denied the Lord, He's been buried, and Peter starts out this chapter by saying to six others, he says, I'm going fishing. And six others followed Him. We say that in passing, that doesn't mean a lot, but do you know what fishing was to Peter? It was his old way of life. That's what he did before that he met Jesus. But when he met Christ, he was no longer a fisherman. He was a fisher for men. And he'd swapped his nets in to catch the fish in the sea to go out and catch men, the souls of men, the souls of women, and take the gospel to them. Really, what Peter was saying, I'm going back to my old way of living. You need to make your mind up tonight. There was nothing good about the good old days of sin.
That's right.
And there's nothing good to return to in the good old days of sin.
Amen.
Make up your mind you're going to follow the Lord and not go back.
Amen.
There's nothing back in your old life for you. Amen. Leave your old life behind and move forward. And the sad thing is, when he decided to do that, six others followed him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You've got influence. You use your influence properly. You know, have you ever thought about the influence that this church has in this community? In our county? In this city? I don't think some of you understand the power of your influence. Young people, do you know the influence that you have on your friends? Boy, it's quiet now, isn't it? You have an influence on your friends. You influence lives. You impact lives by the life that you live. If you tell your friends that you're a Christian and then you have fits of rage and you use improper language and you don't show Christ to them, then they're not going to have confidence in you to follow you. I thank all three of you for the amen. Everyone has a friend. You know, I'm amazed. I look around. We've got a lot of young people, but you know what, young people? I hope you don't get angry with me, but I don't see you bringing a lot of your friends to church. Should I duck? Why is that? Don't tell me they go to church somewhere else. No. A good 80 to 90% of them in this area don't go to anyone's church. They may tell you they go to church, but they don't go to church. I better move on. You don't like that. That doesn't go down too good, does it? Well, we've got friends at church and we've got friends at school. Maybe you're living two lives. And you need to use your influence. And you need to say, this summer, I'm going to follow the Lord because I love the Lord. See, if you go off to church camp and you have an emotional experience and you get high on the Lord for a week period of time and go through a great emotional experience, but you just make up your mind to follow the Lord and don't give your heart to God and fall in love with the Lord, at the end of a week or the end of a summer, it'll pass. But if it's a love for God, it'll be just as real come fall. It'll be just as real come Christmas. It'll be just as real on the 4th of July. It'll be real 365 days a year. You'll be in love with Jesus. And we need that. I don't want to pastor a church that has youth that's not on fire for God. And the fire for God is not that you're always shouting and you may not always be weeping, but you can always use your influence for Jesus Christ. And have a burden for your lost friends. Some of you business people have an influence. What an influence. Hey, David, you might as well get ready. It'll be all over the county by tomorrow. I heard that the city solicitor got baptized in a creek yesterday. Use your influence for God. We all have influence. Every walk of life has influence. And when they say that, you can say it was the best experience of my life because I wasn't doing it just to follow the Lord. I was doing it because I've fallen in love with the Lord. And that's why I follow Him. Follow Him because of our influence. Follow Him regardless of what others do. Peter leaned over and he wanted to get the subject off of Peter, so he starts talking about John. But Lord, what shall John do, the disciple you love? Jesus talked to him, and I don't mean to paraphrase it all or add or take away, but I'm just helping you understand. What Jesus did was the sweetest thing. He said, Peter, you take care of Peter and I'll take care of John. You know what that meant to Peter? Peter had a big enough job taking care of Peter. He didn't have time to take care of nobody else. You've got a full-time job taking care of you. Your relationship with the Lord, my relationship with the Lord. The greatest day in my life was when I understood I couldn't preach people into right living. I couldn't make people live right. I can't make them do right. But you know what? I can make myself do right. I can make myself be at a place where God can. I'm in control of my own life. You're in control of your life. God has given you that power and that authority. And you need to say, you know, I wish that everyone would be saved and go to heaven with me. But listen, ladies, if your husband's not saved, go right on loving the Lord and following the Lord and saying, I wish they'd get in. But regardless of what they do, I'm going on to heaven. I've got to see the Lord. I know you want to see your family saved, but sometimes you've got to say, I'm not giving up on them, but regardless of whether they follow you or not, Lord, I'm still going to follow you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to go through this thing because I've got to make it. I've got to see the city. I've got to see the Savior that died for my sins. I'm not going to be satisfied until I see Jesus. I've had folks disappoint me and you've had folks disappoint you. They've fallen in the journey of life. But, can I add this? The Lord has never disappointed me one time.
Amen.
It's good to look to others. It's good to appreciate others. And it's good to love others. But don't ever doubt your relationship with God because others fail. Others will fall. I wished it wouldn't happen, but it does happen. You'll be disappointed in people, but I'll guarantee you, you'll never be disappointed in the Lord. He loves you and He'll see you through. And you stay in love with Him and God will take you through regardless of what others do. One other thing. Follow the Lord regardless of the cost. Jesus said this, signifying by what death He or what death Peter should die. Tim Cassidy did a great job a couple of Wednesday nights ago talking about the death of Peter. We know the history records that he was crucified upside down. Tim made mention then whether that request was granted or not. But it was his desire that he not be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. But it doesn't change the fact he was martyred for the cause of Christ. These are wonderful days to be serving the Lord. Because we are living in the end of time. The Lord could come any time. But also, as we go on toward the coming of the Lord, you need to understand the church will face persecution. We'll be persecuted for the things that we believe and the things that we stand on. And during that time of persecution, it will be your love for God that says regardless of the cost, I've got to follow Him. Lori sings a song. I don't know if she sings it with the girls. They sing it every now and then. But they mention about Polycarp. Polycarp probably took over the church after John had died. He was the next successor in the pastorate there. They said of Polycarp that he was one of the early church martyrs for the cause of Christ. And they put Polycarp at the stake and was going to burn his body. And the authorities looked at him and said, Polycarp, if you'll just recant, and if you'll just deny the existence of Christ, and if you'll refute Christianity, we'll let you live. That old man, with fire surrounding him, ready to give his life, the words of Polycarp, recorded through history. 86 years have I served him. How now then can I blaspheme the name of God? I want to tell you something, folks. You don't know what you'll go through, but I know one thing. Heaven will be worth it. And it'll be cheap regardless of the cost. It'll be a cheap price for us to pay following the Lord. Because the supreme sacrifice was given on Calvary 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for our sins. The question tonight is not are you following Him? The question is do you love Him? If you love Him the way you ought to love Him, you will follow Him. Your heads are bowed for just a moment and the church is praying.